Welcome to Nattering with the Knights, Nord Anglia International School Hong Kong's PE department, talking about sport, physical activity, health, and a host of other topics.
This week, Miss Jones is joined by her sister, Rebecca Jones, as she talks through her career, which has now taken her to become an entrepreneur as a co-owner of Cheshire Velocity Training. She originally started in social work, but altered her career path, and now she is working full-time as her own boss in this facility. Rebecca talks through following your passion and using your skill set to help other people for the better. It's a really interesting episode that we hope you enjoyed. So as per usual, get the earphones in, get up and get active, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hi everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Nattering with the Knights with me, Miss Jones. Today, I am super excited and proud to sit down with my sister, Rebecca Jones, via Zoom and talk about her journey to becoming her own boss and following her dreams to open up her own gym and help others start their own health and fitness journey. Her journey didn't start out with wanting to own her own business. She studied social work at university and thought this was the path she wanted to take. It turns out she wasn't destined to be a social worker. She soon found herself on a personal training course and running classes at a local gym. There she met her business partner and they set out to change the lives of a small community of people. They established R&B boot camps, the R standing for Remy, her business partner, and the B standing for Becky. Members were hooked on these hard-hitting sessions that challenge strength, endurance, and grit. 3 years ago, they took the plunge and opened their own space in which they are in charge of the programming and day-to-day operations. Today, we sit down to talk about what it feels like to make a drastic change to your career after studying something for so long, what it feels like to be a business owner, owning and running a business through a global pandemic, and in general, her own aims and goals for the future. Thanks for joining me today, and I'm really excited to share your story with our listeners.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm all good. It's actually quite nice to see you sat in our front room at home in the UK. Not been here for a while.
Very windy and cold here.
Oh, well, I hate to rub it in, but it's nice and sunny here. So
yeah, we're freezing. It's meant to be getting warmer, so that's good.
Oh, fingers crossed for some nicer weather. Well, thanks again for agreeing to do this with me. I think it's quite an interesting story that we can share with our students and our listeners. I'm going to start right at the beginning. I remember back in around 2010, I was training to be a PE teacher, and you would laugh at my honestly horrific PE kit that I had to wear as part of the course. It actually was awful, guys. It was this oversized white polo t-shirt and some huge navy baggy tracksuit bottoms that did nothing for no one. Yeah, very unflattering. And I remember you saying to me, why would you want to wear that every day? Now, at this time in your life, you were studying social work. So can you tell us how your life was going at that point, like how you saw your life and what your goals were?
I was lost. I had absolutely no idea. I went to uni because I thought that's what you were meant to do after college. I'd been doing a job within a social work area since I was like 16. So I just sort of like went with the flow. My auntie was a social worker. Our mum's a mental health practitioner. She was a nurse at the time. So it was sort of like, well, let's do that then because I don't know what I want to do. So that's what I did. Went to uni. Didn't dislike it, but I just didn't love it. I did not find my niche. And I finished uni and then went on to work in a exclusion unit with young children who'd been excluded from schools. Got placed in a school on a one-to-one basis with a little girl, and they asked me to stay on because I was just an agency worker. So they asked me to stay there, but I'd already inquired. I don't know if you remember, we went to the gym one night and did a Zumba class.
Yes, I do. I do remember that Zumba class.
I was in awe of the instructor. She was brilliant. And I was just like, oh, this looks fun. Maybe this is something I could do. So I asked the right person at that gym. I was a member of the gym, obviously, so I asked the right person. And then it just went from there. I was sort of in between because they offered me the place at the primary school, and then I got offered a MVQ at the gym. So I was a bit like, oh, what do I do? I'm going to get paid a full-time wage, at the primary school, or I basically don't get paid anything. I do hours at this gym and hope that something works out. Because you sort of did like it. I basically was, they were paying for my college course, so I gave them hours back in the gym.
Okay.
So what, I'd had no wage. I was very lucky. I was living with my parents at the time. So I just thought, let's do it. I was 24 and I needed to find what was for me. So that's what I did. I went and did the MVQ. I did my level 2, which is your gym instructor course. Then I went on to do my level 3 pretty much straight after, which was personal training. And did things like circuit training, Zumba, which I don't teach anymore. It's not for me. It's just one of them things. But if you want to do it, it's great. It's good fun. And then went from there. That's where I met my business partner. And yeah, we then started to set up things within where we were working at the time.
So you... I mean, going back to that Zumba class, I do remember it. We were kind of like in the back corner, just, yeah. I felt a bit like, you know, Monica and Friends in that dance class, like flailing my arms around.
Remy was actually there laughing, like, because we had to sort of known him and been introduced to him because he worked there at the time. But I always remember that. It was like Friday night and we were doing Zumba class. I realised what I wanted to do, thank God.
Well, that's kind of the nice thing about this is it wasn't a planned thing. It's just, you know, you watch something. And I think I remember doing the same kind of thing, watching a PE teacher at school and going, you know what? That's like, this person's really good at it. They really enjoy it. I really like this. And although I know, like you said, Zumba wasn't your thing, but it obviously set you along the path. So you said you went along the personal trainer route. Now, I think, just jumping back to that, I think I remember for one of your modules, I was your, your client. So you had to take me. Yeah, that was what they called it, a body.
Altrincham College, maybe, with me.
Yeah, I remember being in a... running on a treadmill and you had to like correct my form. And then it was like, we were looking at certain movements, like a tricep extension. And, you know, they were kind of putting you in challenging scenarios. And I'm trying to relate this like to, you know, in terms of length of time for our students, how long did it take from you getting this NVQ offer at the gym? Like you said, they pay for your college placement, you give them hours back, to then doing a personal training course, to then running your own classes. Kind of how long does that take, or did it take you?
So I remember starting, because I started on the 6th of January, because it's my birthday. That is the day I signed the papers to say I was starting the courses.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure, I've got a terrible memory, dates and things. I'm surprised I even remember that, but I think it's because it's what I did on my birthday. Yeah. I'm pretty sure within the space of not even 2 years, I'd completed the level 2, the level 3. I was teaching before I'd completed the level 3, because you can teach with the gym instructor.
Okay.
So, qualification. So I was teaching spin classes within, I'd even say like, 6 months, because I just threw myself right in. I was really lucky that I met Remy, so he really set me on a path with things I was doing. He was really supportive, basically taught me everything he knew. He'd been doing it since he was like 18. I think he'd gone straight from college to there. And he, yeah, so I'd say, I'm sure it was definitely under 2 years that I completed them all, because they give you, I'm sure they give you like 9 months to complete each level.
Okay.
The way we were doing it. You can do it very, very quickly now, though. There's lots of courses out there that you can do it within like 6 weeks.
But I think
I had to learn along the way.
Yeah. I think a good thing that you said there as well is like, although you said like, you know, it was 2 years, it was obviously something that you know, time went quickly, you threw yourself into it, and you said there, which is great, it's going to lead us into the next part of this conversation, is that you met Remy and he, yeah, you know, was a really good guide throughout it all and kind of very supportive, which is obviously where your friendship and your work relationship grew. So yeah, leading me nicely into, you've met Remy, you're working at this gym, you know, you're building up your repertoire in certain classes. How do you two then sit down and start what became R&B boot camps?
We just wanted more. We knew that when you look at, like, you know, there's not much money in it when you're working for a gym.
Okay.
But we knew that we needed to branch out. It's like everything. You find little things that will make you more money. And we just knew. We had a lot of it. We had a big client base. Everybody loves Remy. You know, Remy is everyone's hero, Mr. Handsome. And then obviously, it's great when you bring a female into it. So, you know, we both had our areas that we brought together. And we just knew that we needed to bring something else to that gym as well where we were. Mm-hmm. It needed something. It was just everyone just sort of walked in and was doing boring things on the treadmill, and it's not for me, you know. And stood there for an hour on the treadmill, and I was like, oh no, we need to mix this up, we need to bring something new in. So I just basically said to him one day, we need to maybe start doing a boot camp, or let's try different sessions or add something in. So we set up a boot camp. I'm pretty sure we did the first session for free. And I'm not joking, the amount of people that turned up to do it, we were like, oh, we can't cater for this many people. This is never going to work. Because everybody loves a freebie. Everybody
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
So they all turned up and we were like, oh no, it's not going to work. We're going to have to start doing numbers. So then obviously we then went down that route and started setting it up. We did it 3 times a week, maybe.
Yeah, I think I remember it being Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, this is literally years ago.
Yeah.
So I think it was 3 times a week. We also did morning sessions because we had a lot of young mums coming in and there was a creche at the gym. So they dropped the little ones in the creche. So we did morning and evening sessions. And we just went from there, really. It just, you know, it took off because it was something new and everyone likes to try something new. We had good days. We had bad days. We had days where nobody turned up. We had days where I was on the pitch on my own with 35 people because Remy was having a night off, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of them things. People sometimes fancy working out. Some people don't fancy working out. Yeah. You won't see people for 3 weeks. You'll see people every day for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those. We just went from there, really, with that. And lucky for us, it took off. We do still do boot camps now where we are. Not yeah. as many. But we do have the option still of a boot camp. And obviously you came up with our fabulous R&B name one day, threw it in the mix. So that gave us a little title for it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have, when I've been home, I've attended those sessions. And I remember, you know, you kind of, I think I had boot camps in my head from time spent in America, and it was, you know, it was in like a park and it was led by someone like military experience, and it was like kind of more of a mental thing than a physical. And I came to yours and Remy's ones and like, don't, woof, you put us through our paces. I remember, I think one of the first sessions I ever came to, I think I got like dizzy off the amount of burpees we did. But it was what I, as you know, because with being away so much with my job, is when I come home, you've still got those faces that were there from the very beginning. And what I always liked about it was, you know, you turn up to the session and people were not only there to work out, they were there to hang out with their friends, they were there to, you know, get a sweat on, be challenged, but they were more than happy as well to pitch in setting things up, tidying things away. Yeah. Like nobody really ever wanted to leave.
No, we are very, very lucky. And I think, you know, we have got such a great community. And that's what's enabled us to come as far as we have, because so many people have followed us. And I think, you know, not bigging me and Remy up, but obviously that's because we, you know, we supply sessions that are so different, and mm-hmm. we're always there to work out, like for a good workout. Like they're not just coming to potter around. We don't let them get away with it.
Yeah.
And then obviously just the social side of it. So many people, like we've got so many people that have become friends within mm-hmm. the gym and they see each other out. Like, it's really lovely to know that we have set up such a nice community.
Definitely. And I think that's a huge bonus that maybe, which we'll touch on maybe in a little bit, that this pandemic is kind of affecting people more because they're not getting that community spirit. Even though, you know, we've got lots of different ways of doing it, like we're communicating now, but
yeah,
physically connecting and working out together and doing things hard, doing things that are hard together, you know, gives you that sense of connection. So I'm just...
Being in the same room with just one more other person rather than being in your own living room on your own, you can think, I'll just switch my camera off. And if you're in the gym, you're not switching your camera off.
Oh, and you do not escape you and Remy in that gym if you think you're having a little rest. So you've got R&B boot camps now. You're still at this gym. You've got this community of people that's growing. You've got the hardcore people that are there every session, every week. You've got people that drop in, drop out, which is totally fine. How do you and then Remy come to this decision of, right, we've established this and now we're going to take a big plunge and we're going to find a facility and we're going to go for this on our own?
So before we even got to where we are now, we went elsewhere just with the boot camps because things got a little bit difficult at the gym where we were. They started to, our rent massively increased. Mm-hmm. They just started to cause a few little problems for us. Things weren't running that smoothly. And, you know, I will admit we were setting up a business within another business, but it was also massively benefiting their business, but they didn't really pick up on that. They just basically thought, oh no, they're trying to screw us over.
Okay.
So we went elsewhere and worked in a unit, and that's where we did boot camps. So we were like 10 minutes up the road, and that was okay. It was good, but we sort of like, because we had that many people attending the boot camp, it was also a personal training unit. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like what we have now, but much smaller. And we'd rock up on a Wednesday evening with 30 people to do a boot camp, and all the personal trainers were like, where are all these people going to go?
Yeah.
So that, I can't even remember how long we were there. Maybe a year. I don't even know. Maybe not even a year. It might have been 2 years. Like I say, it might be really shocking. But we stayed there for a bit, and then new management came into the old gym because we were still working at the old gym. New management came in and he was great. Really set us up. Sorted us out. Wasn't some extortionate price for rent and things. And we just plodded on a bit. We were like, right, this is okay. And then all of a sudden he left. We had a bit of a problem at the gym. And things were just getting a bit, it was just all getting a bit nasty, really. And we were just like, we need to get out. I was pushing it massively. I was pushing it much more than Remy was. I was like, come on, we need to go, we need to go, we need to. But, you know, Remy's a bit more level-headed than I am. I am the fiery one. And I'm like, bam, let's do it today. And Remy's like, all right, well, you know, let's really look over it and plan.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm not like that. So we started looking. I was on Rightmove every day looking for properties, like big units and stuff. And we went to view somewhere, which is basically just right next door, a smaller building to where the big mill is that we are now. And we went to view it. Basically, the guy who was selling it was great. The managers of the mill, they were really good. And he showed us a few areas, like, what about this one instead of that one? Because it had sold the one that we wanted.
Okay.
And then he was like, actually, I've got somewhere on the third floor if you want to go up there. So we went up and had a look, which I preferred because the other one was very, there was no windows, there was no outside light coming in. It was very, very dark. And I just knew that we'd probably regret that, even though it looked really cool and it'd be like a dungeon. I just knew that we'd need light. Mm-hmm. So we went onto the third floor. Remy did a bit of bartering and, you know, gave his charm. Maybe I did as well, actually, to be honest, because he always kept sending me to the office. And then we just went from there. We basically took a space that I thought was far too big, even though it was me that was pushing it. And then we filled it with a load of gym kit. And I was like, wow, we could have done with more, really. But it was a massive step. We were on our own. That was it. here's our unit, and now we have to run it. We have to open it every day at 6 a.m. We have to close it every day at 9 p.m. and we have to be back for 6 a.m. the next day. Mm-hmm. So, but it was the best thing that we did at that time, because I, like I say, we were very ready to come away from where we were to do our own thing, so that we didn't have that overhead of someone telling us what we can and can't do.
Definitely. I mean, taking the chance, like you say, you've got a bit of a bigger space than you probably planned on. You've now realized that, you know, this is yours. Like you and Remy have got to make this work. Just out of interest, you know, what kind of emotions, challenges have you faced since opening a gym? Like, I can imagine there's a wide range of emotions, but this is now such a, you know, it's a dream for you guys. It's something that you've always wanted to do. Like, can you kind of take us through any emotions or challenges you've faced as you
become? Every sort of emotion you can imagine. Stress, happiness, sadness. I probably cried a lot because just the worry of, you know, we got broken into. It's then the thought of, oh, well, actually, we own all this. So mm-hmm. we got broken into, and it's like, so if something happens, it's us that has to sort it out. Whereas, not that I wouldn't have been bothered if it was another gym and I was just working there, but it's not your responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I walked into the massive mess of someone who had broken into it and what they'd done, and, you know, they'd had a great time going through things. And then you've got the worry, it's tired.
Yeah.
Unbelievably, but exhausted in a good way, because you know that, you know, it's benefiting what you're doing and mm-hmm. it's benefiting other people. And, you know, you're there at 6:30 in the morning for someone to work out, because then they go to work for the day, mm-hmm. but then they don't come back at 5 p.m. when they've had a really crappy day at work and they're not feeling great, but they've already done the workout, so they can just go home, have a healthy dinner and chill out. So there's so many emotions, you know, the worry. Luckily, like, I am the worrier. Remy is so laid back. It's unbelievable. So we do complement each other. He calms me down. I stress and worry about something, and he basically is like, where are you going to get worrying? Like, we're not mm-hmm. going to get anywhere. But then it's also like the day we opened, that was literally like so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Like, such a good feeling to know that we'd done it. And also having everyone like behind us, backing us, like, they want to be there. They're there for a reason.
Yeah.
So that's a good feeling too. So yeah, every emotion you can think of, but good emotions as well. It's yeah. not all bad.
Obviously, you know, everybody
will be doing it.
Yeah. Everybody in life, you know, you think you've got your dream job, and it always provides its challenges. You've got good days, you've got bad days. Now, talking about those kind of emotions, those challenges, we're currently in the middle. Well, I say the middle, I feel like it's a never-ending pandemic at the moment, because for Hong Kong, we're in about the 13th month of it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you guys are experiencing another lockdown right now. I think, is this the third lockdown? I've lost count.
Yeah, we're in it. Yeah. No, who knows?
Another lockdown.
I think this is the third.
So you have had the business for 3 years now?
Yeah, it'll be four in September.
Four in September. And then obviously this global pandemic hits, things are locked down, and it seems that, you know, governments around the world have found that a lot of things to shut our gyms, which, you know, as a PE teacher and as someone working in the health and fitness industry, kind of feels a little baffling to me, because that's what's going to make people healthier. How have you and Remy kind of worked together to maintain the business, or different ways to expand on the business while you've been closed?
So before all this happened, we decided we wanted to expand, believe it or not. I had too much space, and now I've not got enough space. Because after the... Possibly after the first lockdown, we had a massive influx of new members. Everyone was like fitness mad, mm-hmm. need to get in. And we were like, we can't cater for all these numbers. And also, obviously, because of COVID, we had to have everybody spread out. Mm-hmm. We could only have a certain amount of numbers in. So Remy was like, right, this is it. We need to we're very lucky that there's another unit next to us that we can basically just take on. It's massive. It'll be huge, which right. I'm really excited about. However, at the minute, we don't have any members in a gym because they're not allowed to come. Mm-hmm. So that's, Remy's been painting bits and bobs and we've been like sprucing up the gym. But I have literally been on Zoom 4 times a week, I think. So I do 4 classes a week on Zoom. I would do every day, but there'd be absolutely nothing left of me if I was around every day. I've sent out workout plans. So all of our members have received a 4-week workout plan for them to follow at home. And we've also rented out the kit. Mm-hmm. So that they have, we obviously don't have enough for everyone, but we've done what we can do and yeah. we've given to people who wanted it to take it home. We have certain studio bars that they've taken home with them because we've obviously got a lot of people who are isolating,
yeah,
can't actually come out. And, you know, some people are isolating in one bedroom because they have a family yeah. and they can't then be in the house because that affects that family. So they're literally yeah. in a bedroom for 10 days being fed through underneath the door. Which wow. is not fun. But yeah. you know, I've dropped a few bits of kit off for people like that uh-huh. to do. But it's just literally Zoom at the minute mm-hmm. that has saved a lot of lives. It's scary how much, you know, not exercising affects people. Mm-hmm. Also, it's not the same at home. So I'm just trying to do everything I can to keep people busy with those exercises. But the expansion of the gym, it's put on hold just for the minute because, you know, when we don't really need yeah. to rush it because it's another rental payment mm-hmm. that we're not using at the minute. So we're just holding back off that at the minute. But that will be up and running soon.
So it's nicer that even though there's a, you know, a pandemic and it's preventing clients, members from coming into your physical space, they've still got access to you.
And this Zoom's amazing because it literally puts everyone's faces on a screen so they can huh. some people turn the cameras off, some yeah. people are camera shy, but everyone's faces are on the screen, isn't it? So it gives, I know it's not the same, but at least they can yeah. see everyone and the, you know, people can yeah. see them. I can see them all stopping and having breaks. So Instagram as well, that's been quite a good one, but I don't use that as much because yeah. obviously it goes out to everybody, whereas we have paying loyal members mm-hmm. who I want to supply a yeah. service. Yeah,
so social media really has been a huge benefit for the company while you're obviously closed. Mm-hmm. This kind of leads, you know, into kind of not a final question, but kind of rounding up almost. Like, we've probably got a lot of students that, you know, are listening, students that are studying business, economics, that might go on to want to study business and economics, students that might have ideas, ambitions, dreams of opening their own business. Through what you've experienced, not just in this pandemic, but from, you know, changing, you know, going from social work, studying a degree in that, and then completely changing to a different course in life. Have you got any lessons that you'd possibly share with them about anything that you've experienced, really?
So not so much lessons, but just basically go for it. If it's what you want to do, go for it, but plan, mm-hmm. write things down, ask for help, you know, people who are around you will help you. Mm-hmm. Don't do it on your own if you're aware that you've got people there to help you. Like our dad, and Remy, as you call them, Stremy Constructions, were in the gym yesterday painting. Like, dad is literally, you know, just ask for help. Get everyone in to help who can. Don't feel that everything has to be done, you know, like paying people to do things. You've got people who's going to help you out on the side, or who it's not about what you know, it's about who you know within yeah. this business as well, and who is going to be there to help you. So just, you know, ask for help and advice and just go for it. If it's what you want to do, it may go wrong, but you know, if you do it sensibly and the right way, mm-hmm. don't rush things, because I'm the rusher, Remy's not a rusher. If you've got the chance to, you know, get link up with a business partner, obviously don't just link up with someone just to link up with them. You know, you need to know it's going to work. Me and Remy worked together for a long time before we went then went off to do our own thing, but that is a massive help because it's not all on you.
Yeah,
but yeah, definitely just go for it. Yeah,
I suppose at the end of the day, you know, if you don't try it, you're never going to know if it works out. And then, you know, you might be living with that regret for the rest of your life, or, you know, you then see somebody else take that plunge and take your dream. And it's like, why didn't I do that?
Yeah. And also, if you know anyone within the same business, like, we knew quite a lot of people. We went to see so many lads who have got their own gyms and units, and, you know, everyone is there to help. It's healthy competition. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, we have so many people around us, personal trainers, friends, people have their own gyms, but they're not competition. It's just like, you know, they're doing the same thing. They're just trying to earn money like we're trying to earn money, make a living, and yeah, set something up that they enjoy doing as well. Like, we're very lucky that we enjoy doing what we do.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, like, just basically go for it, but ask for help. Don't, you know, don't suffer on your own if you are in that sort of situation. Yeah,
I think that's a nice kind of message to kind of round up is, you know, we talk a lot at school about, you know, if you don't understand something or you need help, speak to us. It's not just teachers that you need to speak to. It could be your friends. It could be your parents, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you kind of, you mentioned there was, you know, an expansion in play for CVT. And kind of my roundup question is, you know, what's next for CVT or yourself? Like, what, you know, I know obviously we probably want this pandemic to kind of disappear, but what do you see happening?
A great start if the you know, COVID would do one. But you know what? We're all healthy. We're happy. It could be worse. Mm-hmm. We are very fortunate. We are doing the extension on the gym, which is going to be amazing. I can't wait for that because we're going to have this massive, I don't want to say too much just in case any of our CVT members, because Remy will kill me, wants a surprise. But we're going to have, it's going to be great. It's just going to be, you know, bigger and better. It's going to be an area that we can run sessions in, mm-hmm, with certain bits of equipment. And just a big, it'll just be like a bigger studio base. And just a lot more room, because right, I think we're going to need it, because I don't think people are going to be allowed near each other for a while.
Well, it's nice to know that, like, an expansion is exciting and, you know, you've got a lot of work to do with that, I can imagine. So before I kind of move into the quickfire round, thank you for, you know, sharing your story and your kind of journey into being a business owner and how that is still, you know, growing and developing with each day. So this, we talked about this bit before we started recording this, like the quickfire round, I don't need to like panic and think it's like, like shout anything out, you know, you don't have to answer it like straight away.
But I'll think about answers because that's
So we've got a couple of questions just kind of to, you know, to get to know you a little bit more. So first one would be favorite food post-workout.
So I love banana saurine, malt loaf.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the banana one, that right, is great because it's like a cake, it's heaven. Or like eggs on bagels, that sort of thing, avocado, something not too heavy, because I always feel a bit like, oh, I don't want to eat too much, but I'm starving. So yeah, something like that.
Okay, do you have, or what is your favourite book?
Okay, I've actually got it with me because I wanted to plan this one.
Oh.
This basically is every day, and it gives you a motivational, not a quote. I read the one to you before, didn't I? Just
yeah, what, like a message?
Yeah, like a message on basically how to take on the day. Mm-hmm. So I would majorly advise this book, because it's just great. I love it. I love getting up in the morning, reading it, and thinking, yeah, let's go conquer the day.
Excellent. So the Daily Stoic. I actually get one of their emails a day in the morning. So. That's
yeah, you can get the email. Yeah, I get quite a few, to be honest. To get a daily affirmation.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that's a good email.
Nice positive start to the day. I feel like I might know the answer to this question, but what's your favourite brand?
Oh, well, so trainers, I am Nike all the time. I love Nike. Clothes-wise, I don't know, I am a bit of a mix. I love Nike. I'll always have Nike on, but I love Lululemon leggings.
Oh,
thanks for you. I've got some on now, actually, and they're just, I feel like I'm in my pyjamas. I also love H&M.
mm-hmm.
which is very cheap and cheerful, but yeah. fit like a glove. Yeah, so Nike, Lululemon, and H&M, I'd say, if I can have three.
You definitely can. I was definitely knew Nike was going to come up there, so I'm glad I know you well enough. Favorite fitness movement?
I like deadlifts. You know, I feel like they make you feel strong.
Right.
Like yeah, I just did that.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I've not lifted heavy for a long time. Yeah. A long time.
I'll be so nice maybe
tomorrow.
Nice to get back into the gym to lift some weight.
But then I am a very much of a HIIT girl. I love interval training, so high intensity burpees, ooh. Squats. You know,
yeah. Favorite movie?
Save the Last Dance.
Oh, very
always
good.
Has been, always will be. I've watched it about 10,000 times.
Very loved good movie.
Not watched. You have to watch.
Most famous person you've ever met?
I don't know. I was thinking about this. I actually have no idea. Might have been like a football player maybe when I was like 16, but clearly no one that's stuck in my mind. If I'd have met Anthony Joshua, he very much in my memory. And I probably would have died. But I don't really know.
Let's maybe hope Anthony Joshua somehow listens to this podcast. And
one of my clients actually did a webinar with him the other day.
Wow.
And she sent me a picture of him sat there and like literally thought of you. I was like, oh. What happened?
Darkest secret or interesting fact?
I am very boring and don't really know. I don't know. This is so boring. Maybe that people think I eat really healthily, but I eat chocolate every day. That's probably my most interesting fact, especially at the minute because we can't do anything.
So maybe you've just let your darkest secret slip there that you eat chocolate every day.
I really don't think I've got many dark secrets.
Well, that's probably a good thing, but you're also, you know, you are exercising and leading these Zoom classes, so a bit of chocolate every day, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm not eating full dairy milk every day.
And then our last one, the biggest life lesson you can give in under 60 seconds.
So just a quick one, do what makes you happy. You are your biggest investment.
Oh, I like that. And what another positive way to kind of round out this episode after, you know, hearing about your story from going from social work to opening your own gym and like you said, investing in yourself and believing in yourself.
It is all about you. Yeah.
You've got to look after number one sometimes and do what feels right. So I just want to say... thank you very much for doing this with me. I know that it's like morning time for you, so you've got the rest of your Sunday ahead as we prepare to wind down for the evening. But I do hope our listeners can take away from this that, you know, to take a chance, do what you believe in, but don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it along the way. And like you said, to do what makes you happy and invest in yourself is probably one of the most important messages we can give to everyone.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, well, thank you for having me. And I hope, you know, someone feels inspired out there.
Oh, well, we can only do our best and share it with everyone. And hopefully we will get some inspiration going for our listeners and our students. But thank you again from me. And I will speak to you soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Nattering with the Knights. If you want to make sure that you don't miss any future episodes, then please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please reach out to your PE teacher if you have any feedback or ideas about topics you would like to see and hear about in the future. In the meantime, have a great week and we will see you next time.